Okay, I think we can start. I guess most people are back, are here in the hall. And I guess you've had a little meeting in the dining hall, which should be over. And most people are back here. There's one practical thing I want to say first. I didn't see this until now. It actually says that I'm supposed to give two Dhamma talks this day, today. That was not the intention. So it says here there will be a Dhamma talk now, and then one at 1:30. So what I choose to do now, I will only run this session now. And then the session at 1:30 to 2:30, just do something yourself. So I will do one Dhamma talk and a guided meditation now. And then at 1:30, just do as you normally been doing when I don't teach anything. I am not prepared to two sessions of teachings, only one. And I think that's enough. So what I intend to try to do this morning is I want to talk a little bit of what we call for loving-kindness meditation, which is also called metta meditation in its old ancient Pali language. And then I will not spend too much time about that, maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes, and giving some examples and how it works. And then I will start a guided meditation session, which will probably last between 30 and 45 minutes. And before that part, we'll do some changes. But just sit as you are now for the beginning. And then when we start the meditation, I'll probably change a few things for you, so it's kind of more comfortable. This morning when I was contemplating what to say and what not to say, I was walking back and forth in this room in the teacher's cottage, and I saw this thing here, and I read it like it's called Green Addict. This is like an environmental friendly soap. And it says, because good planets are hard to find here, there, and everywhere, so it can be used everywhere, all purpose cleaner. That's what the soap they're using here at Jhana Grove. And I thought that, wow, that's pretty close to loving kindness and metta. The only thing you need to do is kind of exchange two words. Instead of green, you can say kindness. And instead of planet, you can say friends. And then it goes like this. Kindness addict. Because good friends are hard to find. Here, there, and everywhere. All purpose cleaner. That's what metta is. What loving kindness is. So, and I've been using this kind of a spray bottle when I'm teaching metta meditation in the past, because you have this store of liquid or water or soap, and you can just spray it on something, and that kind of similarly a way of looking at things is something I'm going to apply in this guided meditation, because you have this store of kindness in you, but you don't know how to kind of generate it and kind of spray it on somebody. You have all this kindness in you, but the question is, how can you just get it up into your mind and direct it out to those people around you and yourself, in your own mind? How do you do that? So I like this kind of this idea that you have a store of a lot of kindness in you, and then you can spray it on people around you. So I will come back to that during the walking, the guided meditation. But first, The translation of what we call metta meditation is loving kindness, or just friendliness meditation. And I think a good definition is like a sustained goodwill towards somebody, another person, wishing them happiness and all kind of success and health, which also can forgive. So it's like an unconditional kindness and love and caring for other people. I think that's the kind of the core, inner core definition of metta. I'll probably be using the word metta when I'm talking now. That's what I'm used to. But English translation, this loving kindness, loving friendliness, loving goodness to other people. It is it's a very selfless act, because you're just giving kindness and you don't expect anything to come back to you. And the Buddha has this most beautiful simile of an example of loving kindness or metta, and that's the example of a mother who have only one child, and a mother having only one child, that lady can go so far and can be so patient, and it can endure this kid, this child, so many years and care and help no matter what happened. And we all know how kids can be and how hard they can be. But if you are the mother for this kid or a father, you know how much energy it can generate in you. So being a mother, being a father, kind of forces you to find the store of kindness you have in you, so which you can give to your kid, to your child. And often I'm amazed to see how parents can endure and still be kind to their kids. I grew up in a family with four kids, and still my mother was able to be kind to all of us. And I still don't understand why how that, where this kindness and where this compassion, where it's coming from. But the thing is, it's inside of us. It is there. And one example of how it comes out is by being a mother or being a father. But it doesn't only need to come out by being a mother or a father. This is something you can kind of extract out of yourself, and you can give that to other people. It can be your friends, it can be your spouse, it can be a friend, a co-worker. But it may be more difficult, because it's not your child, it's not your baby. But the store of kindness is still there inside of you. And so this is like this is what we call metta meditation. It's like a training to be able to generate this kindness you have in you, and then kind of give that to somebody around you. It's easy with your kids, but it's more difficult to other people. But it's the same process. But the example of a mother, that's just lovely. It's just, it's so easy to see. Everybody knows this. And I'm just going to read out quickly some quotes from the Buddha about this thing we call loving kindness and the impact it has on your life, both this life and also future lives. This is one of my favorite quotes. It's a very short, just one paragraph. And the Buddha is making a simile, a comparison. And he says that just as the radiance of all the stars, like stars at night, does not equal a 16th part of the moon's radiance, but the moon's radiance surpasses them and shine forth bright and brilliant. So Even so, whatever grounds there are for making merit, doing good things, productive of future rebirth, a future birth, all these do not equal a 16th part of a mind released by loving kindness. So what the Buddha here is saying is that, like, the underlying idea here is that when your body at some point has kind of is going away and you're so-called dying, there will be a new life, a new existence somehow. And what the Buddha is saying here is that there are things you can do which will make your next existence a good existence, a happy one. And what Buddha is saying here is that developing loving kindness in meditation, that's one of the key, that's the one, the most productive things you can do in this life to make sure that your future life is a good one. And he compares this with the moon, which is shining bright and brilliant compared to all the stars. There are a lot of things you can do. A lot of small stars on the sky, which kind of is like small things you can do in your life, which is productive, creates merit for your future. But a big thing, which do a lot of good for your future, is compared to the moon, is so strong. And that is this kindness, this loving kindness, this metta. So that is the recommendation from the Buddha. Metta, loving kindness, is very, very fruitful for both this life and a future life. And another time the Buddha was talking about the benefits of kindness, of loving kindness. And he listed up 11 things, 11 factors. Now I've just read it out. It's three short paragraphs. When liberation of mind by loving-kindness have been pursued, developed, cultivated, and made a vehicle and a basis, carried out, consolidated, and properly undertaken, 11 benefits are to be expected. What 11? The first one, you sleep well. And that's actually really true. If you have a heart or a mind full of loving kindness, you sleep like a happy baby. Second one, you awaken happily. And very often when we wake up, we are kind of grumpy and and negative. But if you have a mind which is full of kindness, even waking up in the morning is better. It feels better to wake up in the morning. And three, one does not have bad dreams. And four, one is pleasing to other human beings. It's kind of natural, isn't it? Everybody likes to hang around kind people. And five, one is pleasing to, they call it spirits here, meaning beings which does not have a human body. It can be heavenly beings. So you're pleasing to them. And six, those heavenly beings, they protect you. So to the extent you believe that there are something which we call devas or heavenly beings or angels, the Buddha is saying that they will protect you if you have love and kindness inside of you. And seven, fire, poison, and weapons will not injure you. I don't know whether I should comment that or not. And then eight, and this is very important and it's very true, one's mind quickly becomes one's mind quickly gains deep meditation. So with a mind which have a lot of kindness and loving kindness inside, The Buddha is saying that that's a reason for you to quickly get deep meditation. And then 9, one's facial complexion is serene. If your kindness inside of you, it kind of shows in your face. In the same thing, in the same way, you can see that somebody, if you see somebody who's been shocked, you see that his face is just full of shock. Or if somebody is really afraid, it kind of radiates out of his face. And the same thing happens with somebody who has loving kindness in his face. It kind of, you can see it somehow. And then, number 10, the Buddha says that you die unconfused. And then 11, if one does not penetrate any further, meaning penetrating to better and better types of existences when your body goes away in this lifetime, one fares on to a Brahma world. And this is the idea that there are many types of existences available for a being, and a human being is one of those types. Another type of existence available for a being is what we call a deva, or an angel, in a heavenly world. A third one is what we call in, the Buddha called it for the Rupa Loka, which is like an even higher type of heavenly existence. They can call it like a Brahma world, or a Jhana realm, a Rupa realm. There are many words of this. And there's a type of existence which is even more sublime than being a deva and having like a deva body. The difference between a human being has a body. A deva also have a body. They have a fine material body. But somebody who is reborn in what the Buddha called for a Brahma world, or like a godly world, they are beings which only have a mind. They don't have a body. So it's just a pure type of existence which is just mind, but then is extremely much higher up and will be perceived as something much better than being a deva or like an angel in the heavenly world. So what the Buddha is saying here is that if you can develop loving kindness and metta, this can even take you to an extremely high type of heavenly existence when this human life is over. So the Buddha is really, really, really praising this this thing we call for metta, or friendliness and loving kindness. There is so many benefits of it. So this is directly from the Buddha. And then a little bit about metta meditation. I remember when I started to learn how to do metta meditation, I was really confused, because what we normally do, we find some kind of object which we rest our awareness or mindfulness on, and then over a long time, so everything else can kind of calm down, whether it's the breath or it's the feeling of your feet. But the problem with metta meditation is that when you begin metta meditation, you normally don't have that object. You can't see this metta object, because metta is a feeling. When metta meditation really starts up, then metta is a feeling which is extremely delightful. And I really mean extremely. I think this is my opinion. There's probably nothing more delightful you can feel as a human being, except the deeper states of meditation. So having this feeling of metta, which is a perceivable feeling inside of you, is extremely delightful. And it's a feeling you can have inside of you just continuously for hour after hour after hour. But in the beginning, when you do metta meditation, it's normally not there. So that's why metta meditation normally is in two stages. And the first stage is actually doing kind of wishful thinking towards other people so that this metta feeling can arise in your mind. So there's a feeling, this delicious feeling of metta in your mind. And when that arises, your object of meditation actually arises. So when this feeling arises in your mind, then that is where you can rest your mindfulness and your awareness and just focus on that continuously. It's just kind of putting your head on this pillow of delightful bliss in your mind and just rest there and be with a delicious feeling. And the result of that is just grows and grows and grows and grows. And this feeling of delightful friendliness, kind of feeling, just stays and grows and develops in you for a long, long time. And it's extremely delightful. But it is difficult to get this feeling to arise in the first place. And that's where most people, they give up. They just sit thinking, ah, I wish everybody happy, may you be happy and well, oh, may you be happy and well, blah, 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 blah. And then after a while, you just give up because, like, I don't know, I don't feel any kind of delightful feeling. But you have to do this. You have to do this initial part of loving kindness where you honestly try to wish other people and yourself a lot of happiness and a lot of health and a lot of good and a lot of goodness. And you do that continuously over long enough time, there is this delightful feeling arising in you. And then you go into stage two where your object of meditation is there and you can just stop creating, saying or repeating those sentences, may everybody be happy, may you be happy. Because now you can change your focus to the real feeling of metta and stay with that and just enjoy doing metta meditation for a long, 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 long time. So that was one of the things which I found very confusing in the beginning. Because it's much more than just sitting there and saying, may you be happy and may you be well and may you be in good health and all those beautiful thoughts. That is just the introduction. And then if you do that continuously over long enough time, and whatever you meet, wherever you go during a retreat, if you just can be kind, if you only honestly wish kindness to whatever happens to you and whoever you meet, just like a mother wishes its only kid to be happy. If you can do that for long enough time, then you have this arising of these delicious feelings inside of you. And then you have really metta meditation. And that metta meditation is is something you can follow and take all the way into really deep meditation, what the Buddha called Vajana meditation. It's a type it's a type of deep meditation, and it's the feeling of metta which takes you there. Instead of focusing on the breath, which can kind of guide you into deep meditation, you can focus on a feeling of delight and friendliness, which also can take you into deep meditation. And the last thing I can say is that I've heard, I have read about senior monks who are good at this. And basically saying that if you are able to do, just like a Buddha here we're talking about, if you do deep meditation based on loving kindness, if loving kindness is your vehicle into deep meditation, that will give you the most fantastic experience of deep meditation. That is just the most delicious thing. You can go into deep meditation in various ways, but going into deep meditation using metta as a meditation, that is the most thing, most delicious thing you can do. But metta meditation, also before deep meditation, is so delicious. I just can't, I just have to recommend it as much as possible. Okay, I've already used half an hour. So, that's what I wanted to say about metta meditation. So, I now wish to do a session of guided meditation. So what I wish you to do is that you need, this is my recommendation for this guided meditation session coming up. Please put yourself in a bodily position which you know will not create any discomfort for you if you sit still for up to 45 minutes. So if you're sitting on the floor or some kind of stool and you know that it will create discomfort in you if you sit there for 45 minutes, then my recommendation now is to go and sit on a chair. Because I know really well from my own experience that if you are not trained to sit on the floor, many of us are like me, I can sit for many hours and it's no problems. But for most people, they don't have that. The body isn't adjusted for this. So I would just recommend for you to put yourself, your body now, into some kind of position, somehow, somewhere, so you know you can sit for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, without your body aching or doing funny, kind of making some kind of aches and pains. You can sit on a chair, you can lean up against the wall, you can even lie down. If somebody here wants to lie down, just lie down on the mat and point your feet towards the wall, some of the walls. Just anything, try to do something, sit somewhere, do some changes, so there is comfort. And as part of this guided meditation, I'm going to use the simile of this spray bottle here. So I will be talking about spraying. Then this is your metta, which you have inside of you. And you can imagine that you're pushing this handle and this all this metta just comes out of you and is directed towards something. It's called kindness addict. Because good friends are hard to find. Here, there, and everywhere. An all-purpose cleaner. I will now guide you. I will be talking you through a meditation session, and please follow my instructions if you wish to. And what I will do, I will start the session by putting your attention or your body. Because putting your awareness and your mindfulness on your body as beginning part of a meditation really, really helps to calm down your body and your mind. So then when your body are sitting there, either on the floor or on a chair, and it's really relaxed, really still and comfortable. When your body is relaxed, then it's much easier to focus and be with your mind alone. So please do your final adjustments on your sitting posture. If you have any belts or anything which is straining your body, just loosen them up. Make sure that your feet, if you're sitting on a chair, your feet are resting nicely on the floor. So your tights and your knees are not too hard on your seat. Try to lean your hands either in your on the chair or in your lap somehow. And try to find one position now. Just find your way, find one position where you feel that in that position you will not need to move anything. It's a position where your body will be happy for 45 minutes without moving. Because during this guided meditation in the beginning, the focus will be the body. And I really wish to emphasize that as you go through this body, don't allow you to move any muscles. And as we walk through the body, just pacify all the muscles. So you don't move any fingers, you don't move any muscles, you don't move any toes or anything. After we sweep through the body, just leave the body still and let it rest. Because when your body can rest, your mind can rest. So we start with your feet, which probably is touching the ground. Please put your awareness and your mindfulness on your feet and how they feel. See whether you can be aware of the lower part of your legs as they touch the floor. Just know, just observe. Just be with those feet touching the ground. And if it feels uncomfortable around those, you just do a little bit of adjustments so your feet ends up in a position which is really nice and comfortable. And if you feel something unpleasant in your feet, see whether you can extract some care, mental care, and direct it down to your feet so your feet can get some good mental energy and help to relax. Calm down. Can you feel your toes? Those feet you have, you know how many years they've been carrying you? You take it for granted you could just walk around. Maybe you can say thank you to your feet for all the help they've given you, moving around, having fun. So may your feet relax. and be still and don't move. And leave them alone so they can rest. You're not walking now, so this is their time to rest. And the same with your legs. See if all the muscles are relaxed. And if there's any tensions, give those muscles now the opportunity to stop and fall into rest and peace. Just be a little bit with your legs. Feel both of your legs. Wish your legs all the best. And then above the legs, you have two knees. Those two knees have been bending and carrying you for a lot of years. May they be happy. May they rest now. May there be no pain in your knees. May they relax. If there are any pain in the knees, again, see whether with your mental strength can send some kind of well-wishing to your knees. If there is some pain there, so just let your knees relax and don't move any muscle or any bones. Just sit still. Your feet, your legs, your knees, allow them to rest now. Don't move a single muscle. Just let them rest. Higher up, you have your thighs. A lot of muscles, strong muscles. If there's any tensions there, then let it go. And all those muscles and sinews, let there be no tensions there. And see if you can feel that your tights are now resting, probably comfortably on a seat. Is touching your seat, your chair. Let it now rest softly on your chair or on your mat. Don't move any muscles anymore. This is your lower body's time and opportunity to rest. May your lower body be healthy. And then you have your back end, your bum, which touches either your pillow, your cushion, or a soft seat on a chair. Can you feel it touching the cushion or the chair? Is it comfortable? Is it relaxed? This 30 minutes, this part of your body now can rest nicely, comfortably, without moving. Then it's your tummy, your stomach. Can you feel the movements? It goes in and out. Goes in and out as you breathe in and out. Can you just be aware of those movements a few seconds? Just be with those muscle movements around your tummy. And allow your digestion system or your stomach or your tummy to rest. Don't accumulate any emotions down there. Allow your tummy just to live its own life. When it moves out, let it move out. Don't hold it in. If you are intentionally holding in or pushing out your tummy, don't. Allow your tummy to do whatever it wants itself. If there's any tensions, if something unpleasant in your tummy, and try to send some mental well-wishing and acceptance to that part of your body. Don't interfere. Don't make it this way or that way. Just let it be the way it wants to be. Quite still, with a little bit of moving in and out. Because because you're breathing. So please take your mental hand away from that part of the body and leave it alone. Your body knows perfectly well what to do itself. Let it rest. Above your tummy, inside of you, you have a heart, a physical heart, which is pumping blood. Can you feel it's pumping? That heart has been pumping for you every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, and every year, the whole of your life. You can say thank you to your heart. And even as we try now to sit still and find relaxation and peace. Your mind, you know, your heart, your physical heart is still doing its job. And let it do that. Let it do whatever it wants to do. Above your heart, you have a couple of lungs. Can you feel them? How they move? All the muscles around? As you breathe in, and as you breathe out, air is flowing in and out and giving you oxygen to keep this body walking and living. Can you feel? Can you be aware? Your breathing and the movements around your lungs. Just stay with your lungs a few seconds. Just feel them. above your lungs, there's a couple of shoulders. Normally, we accumulate a lot of tensions there. So please allow your shoulders to droop down. Don't use any muscle or any will for your shoulders. Let your shoulders really, really, really relax. Let them freely hang down. And don't interfere with your mind and lift them up or back or forward or anywhere. Let them fall down naturally into a position of rest. If there's any tensions there, be aware of it. And try to allow it to disappear. Below those shoulders, you have a couple of hands. Can you feel them touching your lap or your chair? Are they resting nicely? Are they comfortable? Just let them rest. And the same with your hands and your fingers. See if they can just be. And not moving. Just still. Don't move a finger. Let your hands and fingers rest and fall into stillness. Give your body some peace. So your lower body should be still now. Don't move a muscle. And your upper body the same. Don't interfere. Just allow it to be still. Leave it alone for a few more minutes. Close to your shoulders, you have a neck. And we all know that we go around giving massage to each other on people's necks because we accumulate so much tensions and suffering somehow around our necks. So let your neck, which is holding your head, let that part of your body also find a position where it doesn't move and it just keeps your head just holds your head in your nice position, restful position. Can you feel your neck? Can you be aware of it? Is it tight or relaxed? Allow also your neck to be free now, to relax and be still. And above the neck, you have a head and a face. And if you feel your forehead above your eyes, leave that part as well to relax. Don't lift up or down. Just let your face also be allowed to relax. All the muscles above the eyes, allow them to rest. And then you have a couple of eyes with eyelids. Don't strain anything around your eyes. Don't force your eyelids. Try to let them naturally be closed without any straining. Let your whole face relax and be calm. And the same with your mouth, whether it's closed or a little bit open, just leave it still. In a comfortable position, whatever you feel is right. How does your face feel like? Allow it to relax. No tensions. Don't interfere anymore with your body. Where we have now walked through the whole of the body. And now we're moving into the mind. Please keep your body still. Just give yourself the order to let your whole body rest a few more minutes. And the last part is your brain. And for me, that is mental activity. All your thoughts, all your emotions, all your fear, all your anxieties, all your cravings, your ill will, your restlessness, your doubt, all your thoughts spinning. That brain or that mind can also rest in the same way as your body now is resting. Your body is comfortable when it's resting and sitting still. In the same way, your mind will be comfortable and delightful if it can be still. It's relatively easy to stop the muscles in your body and make them relax. But the muscles in your mind is more difficult to make them relax. So there can be peace both in your body and in your mind. A peaceful body helps the mind to be peaceful. And a peaceful mind helps the body to be peaceful. They work together. But your mind is the forerunner. And the last part of this, the last 5 minutes of this meditation, please keep your body still and put all your awareness on what's going on inside of your mind, inside of your brain. Please just be an observer. Please be mindful. Please be aware without interfering, without doing anything, without making anything, without changing anything, without craving for anything, without any ill will towards anything inside of you. Just watch. Just as you are in a movie theater, you're watching a movie. See whether you can just sit back in a chair in this movie theater and watch as an outsider on what's going on inside of you, as if there was something external to you. And just watch the thoughts. Or the fear. Or the craving. For a couple of minutes now, just observe what's going on in your mind. See these thoughts arising, and then it passes away, and another thought comes up, or another idea, another fantasy. Don't ride those thoughts now. Don't do anything with them. Just watch them. As if you're spying on your own mind out of curiosity. For a couple of minutes now, I will stop talking and we'll start again in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, just watch. But don't get dragged into them. Just observe. Whatever is arising in your mind, just watch. And now, remember this spray bottle I showed you? While you are sitting and observing your mind, all these things which arises in you, and you can see it arising, and it's there for a while, and you see it kind of the thought disappears. See whether you can find this spray bottle inside of you, which is full of your goodness and your kindness and your caring and your helping and your well-wishing. And whatever arises in your mind, that mental object, spray it with your kindness. If there's a thought of ill will, spray that thought with kindness. If there is a fantasy arising, spray it. Spray what you see with kindness. Because when you do that, those thoughts and emotions, they change and they calm down, and you change them into something beautiful. Try that for a couple of minutes. Whatever arises inside of you now, whatever it is, see whether you can find this bottle of kindness inside of you. Just like a mother has this huge bottle of kindness for its kids. See whether you can find that bottle, that spray bottle inside. And for 2 minutes, whatever arises inside of you, spray that with kindness, with caring, with goodwill, with friendship. For 2 minutes. I'm going to ring the gong now 3 times, and after the 3rd ring, you can open your eyes and we can come out of meditation. Is that relaxing? That's good. Is there any final questions? This will be my last kind of session, teaching session, this weekend retreat. So if we've gone 1 hour, more than planned. So again, just repeat that at 1:30 to 2:30, there will not be any kind of teaching session. We did both of those sessions now. After what? After the feeling?
The method of meditation, how you take this vehicle step by step. You said that you take a person or an object and you start spreading metta to the person and the feeling. you stay with the feeling of the metta.
Yeah.
In the guided meditation, there was no specific feeling of that metta which I could pick up. So what is the feeling you are referring to?
Yeah, okay. I'm perfectly aware of that the meditation session we did now is not enough for, most likely, for some kind of delightful loving-kindness feeling to arise. That takes many hours. So you need to calm down your mind. And this last part we did here, the last 5 minutes, when the body was really relaxed, or hopefully really relaxed, and you can focus more or less only on what's going on inside of your mind, and you can be only focused on what's going in inside of you. And in that kind of space, in that place, when everything around you and your body is relaxed, and you can be inside, and you do this either this spraying of kindness to whatever is happening to you inside, or you have this, you repeat these words, may you be happy, may he be happy, may my brother or sister or whatever. If you with a silent mind can sit for a long time or lie down in a bed and for a long time just repeat kindly, may he be happy, may my son be happy, may my mother be happy, may she have good health, and then have a lot of space between it. May you be happy, and let it soak in to yourself. May you have health, and then keep an opening in your mind so it soaks into you. Because this repetition of this wishful thinking is something which is supposed to create something inside yourself. You direct it to other people, but the effect is supposed to come for yourself. So if you do this honestly, unconditionally, kindly, with a peaceful body and a peaceful mind, long enough, there will arise this delightful feeling. And then when everything starts to become really interesting and fun with meditation, because you're actually enjoying it. You wish to meditate. You wish just to sit there because it's delightful inside of you. And it's more delightful inside of you than outside of you. So you just want to be there. You want to be inside and develop this delightful feeling. And I think... the best explanation I've heard is from Ajahn Brahm, which is my teacher. He says that if you are able to go that far in your meditation, that some kind of delight arises, whether it's delight out of metta or it's delight out of something else. When this delight arises in your mind, you basically don't need to do anything anymore. It's like there's this stretch limo coming up to you. You only need to jump into it, and it will take you the rest of the journey by itself. You only need to stay with this delightful feeling. And because it's so delicious to stay with a delightful feeling, your body and mind will calm down automatically, more and more and more and more. All by itself. Just because a feeling of metta is so delightful, and you just want to stay with that, you don't do anything else. You don't create any disturbances anymore for yourself inside. And that will take you to meditation further and deeper, and all those positive emotions grow stronger and stronger and stronger until you start to get those smaller hindrances, because in the end you basically end up being afraid because it's too much delight inside of you. So basically, if you do this properly, at one point or another, you have to learn to handle delightful feeling which is so strong that you have to do a job to accept those kind of feelings because they're so strong. And these beautiful feelings, they just take you all the way into deep meditation. Any other questions? Yeah.
This is not related to metta meditation, but you mentioned yesterday that at certain point of our practice, we might start remembering past lives.
Yep.
And our past, so that we just remember.
Yep.
Is there a way that we guide ourselves through? To do that?
Yes.
Or it just happens sometimes? What practice can best help us to do that ourselves?
That is something you have to intend to do. You have to learn what we're teaching here. You have to learn to become a good, virtuous person, and you have to learn to calm down our minds. That's what we're trying to do here. And you have to get up enough delightful feelings which take your mind even deeper into peace and stability and clarity, like a purity, and then with the right intention, those memories will arise in you. And if you want to know about that, you can read this book written by the director of this society, Ajahn Brahm. He has like a chapter there, how to do it. But but you need to do the basics first, because you need an empowered mind. Because if we didn't need it, everybody would have remembered it, and they don't. But if you are able to do spiritual development and a kind of empowering of your mind, a purification of your mind temporarily in meditation, that gives you some extra abilities. Your mind is getting stronger and can do more things than you normally can. And one of the things is actually to remember your past lives. So I think that's the answer.
Yep. Can you speak to us briefly about loving kindness towards oneself?
The first I can say is that normally it is something which we find difficult. At least that's how I was kind of brought up. I have this idea that I should only kind of help people around me, and I should not kind of have so much goodwill towards myself. So I know, for example, Ajahn Brahm, when he does metta meditation, he only directs his loving kindness towards himself when his mind is strong. Because there might be so much resistance inside of you to spread kindness to yourself. You maybe meet some ill will or some resistance which blocks you from doing it. But it's just the same way, it's the same way you can direct loving kindness to yourself in the same way as you direct loving kindness to somebody else. There's not really any difference. But it kind of doesn't feel that selfless to do. But it's still really important to do. But it's done in the same way as directing loving kindness to anybody else. Just take yourself as the aim for your kindness. Okay. Then now it's 10 o'clock. So I think this is a nice time to stop. I only just want to say thank you for coming. And maybe I see you again.
So.